Hi, this is Dr. Roy Morgan. Oh, I promise you, I've got everything under control today. You didn't hear me wrestle with that sheet of paper, did you? It almost won, but I prevailed. Good morning and welcome to the program. How are you?
Good morning. I called last week and we were talking about my low thyroid, so I wanted to continue that conversation.
Well, get me back up to speed. Tell me about your thyroid and what you think is going on. What's the root cause of it?
I have a lot of belly fat. And
well, that could actually signify that what's happening is that your adrenal glands are producing way, way, way too much cortisol.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the hallmarks of cortisol. If your adrenal glands overproduce cortisol in response to food, living, thoughts, whatever you want to fill in the blank with, then what will happen is your body will do a great job of depositing fat in the belly. Now, can I go back to the adrenals just for a second?
Okay.
All right. You're just going to have some faith in what I'm telling you, because I can't actually prove everything that I'm saying over the radio. It's radio.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like every person that calls, I can give you 40 scientific references. I mean, I could if you gave me enough time, but that would take hours to do that. So let me have a different go at this. I want you to trust me on this and believe that maybe a lot of what the thyroid does depends primarily on what the adrenal glands do.
Okay.
So if I suggested that maybe the largest part of how well your thyroid functions or how it doesn't function properly has to do with how well the adrenals are. So maybe what I'm doing is I'm inserting a different thought here, that maybe the adrenal glands have just a whole lot to do with whether or not the thyroid can function efficiently. And so there's two simple things that I could have you do, and I'm going to try to describe these, and you, I mean, for example, you can spend about as much money as you want, usually somewhere around $120-$200, and you could call a company and say, could you please send me saliva testing for measuring the function of the adrenal glands? And that's easy to do. One of my favorite labs is Diagnostics. Super easy to work with, super efficient, and they're usually cheaper than everybody else. Now, that doesn't mean they're not as accurate as the other labs, but I like them.
Okay.
So, but in the real world, one of the oldest tests that you can do is called the pupillary contraction test. Have you ever heard of that before?
No, I haven't.
Okay, how you do it is you go into a dark room, and usually you stand somewhere in front of the mirror where you can comfortably, easily see the pupil of your eye. So if that happens to be 12 inches away, fine. If it happens to be 18 or 6 inches, whatever it is, depending on your vision.
Mm-hmm.
But you turn the light off in the room, so the room is dark. And so what do your pupils normally do when it's dark?
They're going to get open, yes.
That's right, just like an owl hunting a rat at night. They have huge, big honking pupils so they can take in more light. So when it's dark, your pupils will dilate, but you take a flashlight.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be one of those super high-powered flashlights. I've found that even the small ones that aren't super bright probably work better because they don't like overwhelm you with too much light. But what you do is you hold a flashlight at what I would call a 45 degree angle on the outside of your eye.
Mm-hmm.
And usually this is about 6 to 8. I'm kind of holding my hand by my eye right now to kind of gauge it. So if I were doing it in my office, I'd probably hold it about 6 to 8 inches out at a 45 degree angle. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
And all you do is, while you're in the dark and you're facing toward the mirror, you turn the flashlight on and you look at your pupil. And what you should observe or notice, which is a normal neurological reflex, is you should see your pupils start the process of instantly contracting.
Mm-hmm.
And what that does is it prevents too much light from coming in your eye. It's just a self-protection mechanism that God designed for us. Now, I'm going to tell you what normal is. I don't know if I'm going to have a lot of people believe me, but this is normal and ideal. Your pupils should be able to hold a contraction for at least 20 seconds without pulsing. And when I say pulsing, that's just a term that means it begins to wax and wane and open and close. It like dilates and contracts. It just goes back and forth real fast.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very easy to observe, but I would suggest, I've done this literally hundreds of times, and if the adrenal glands are not working as efficiently as they should, you'll start to see it pulse with less than 5 seconds. And so if it starts to pulse within 2 seconds, like you, it does not maintain that nice tight contraction, then you've got adrenal problems. So if somebody says I have an underactive thyroid, but they have belly fat, I would say if we don't fix the cortisol, because there's not many hormones like cortisol that literally stress and weaken the thyroid. So I'm trying to say that could be a primary cause of what's going on. Now, number two. There's another very, very simple test. If you have a blood pressure cuff, or if you have one of those automatic ones that can easily measure your blood pressure, what you would do is lay down on the couch or the divan, the bed, floor, whatever's comfortable to you, and just relax for about 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Now, while you're laying supine or on your back, check your blood pressure, and let me just give you an example number. Let's say that your blood pressure is exactly 120 over 80. Well, it's a top number that I'm concerned about. The top number is called the systolic. Mm-hmm. And the systolic tends to be a very, very accurate reflector of adrenal function. And so what you're looking at is, if you check your blood pressure while you're laying down after resting for about 5 minutes, make sure your blood pressure is on a even keel, 120, well, what you do next is you stand up right away and then you check your blood pressure again. So you got the first reading while you were laying down at 120 over 80, and then you stand up again. The moment you stand up, you start taking your blood pressure again. If that number increases by 8 points to 10 points, I've even seen it go up to 15 or 20 before, that is excellent. That's what you want. Because what happens is the adrenals, they have to release hormones and chemicals to keep you from blacking out or passing out, because the adrenal glands have control over the medium-sized arterioles or blood vessels. So when you stand up, it is good and ideal for your pressure to increase momentarily, just for a moment, by about 8 points to 12 points. 10 points would be fine too. And that's a sign that the adrenals are working properly. But if your blood pressure stays the same when you stand up, or I can tell you what I've seen a lot of. I've seen people stand up out of a chair and say, whoa, I'm a little bit woozy. Everything's spinning a little bit. I'm starting to black out. Now, that would be an indication that your adrenals are not working right. And so if the adrenals aren't working right and you have belly fat and there's overproduction of cortisol, we have to ask, well, what's the reason why? Well, is there any source of emotional stress in your life?
Hmm.
Who are you going to vote for president? That might make me a little
stressed. Yeah, that's very stressful, isn't
it? Don't answer that.
I'm not going to answer that question.
No, we're going to completely trust in God. We have no choice. We're going to. Anyway, but that would tell me that maybe the adrenal glands aren't working right. And it's really, and the reason why I'm saying this, this is just my opinion, so you can take it for what it's worth, but it's just nearly impossible to get the thyroid in great, great working order if the adrenals are exhausted, mm-hmm. if they're in disarray. It's just nearly impossible. Does that sound reasonable?
Yes.
Okay. So what do you want to do about all those things?
I want to get the adrenals working so that I can get this thyroid back in shape.
Is there any chance or possibility that you've had some type of a viral infection in the past that really hits you hard? I mean,
not that I know of.
Well, and the reason why I'm saying that is that's another observation that's been very easy for me to make.
Mm-hmm.
If there has been a viral infection that just a person was fine and then they came down with some type of a bug and they never really had wicked symptoms like they were vomiting or diarrhea or high fever. Mm-hmm. But it's very easy for me to see that if a person has some type of what I'm going to call a low-grade viral infection, that could be everything from a mild cold to a case of mono or something like that, that will deplete and exhaust the adrenals so fast and so wickedly and so efficiently, it'll make your head spin. So if the adrenals are weak and somebody gets a viral infection, oh my word. they can feel like they need to lay in bed for like a good week, and they just, no, I don't want to go to First Monday Trades Day. Are you kidding me? I'm doing good to walk from here to the bathroom, to the kitchen, back to bed again. I can't walk for 12 hours shopping. So if there's no virus, then the simple things that I would look at, cortisol is a hormone that your body uses to keep your blood sugar from falling too low. Do you know anything about your fasting blood sugar?
No, I don't.
Okay. Anybody in your house have diabetes?
My sister does. My mother died from it.
And
my aunt, too.
Well, is this your mother's sister?
No, it's my dad's sister.
Okay, so on both sides of the family, there may be something in the family gene on diabetes. Mm-hmm. Is your sister older or younger?
She's younger.
Well, wouldn't you agree with me that if you lose belly fat, things are going to bode very well for you?
Yes.
All right, now I'm going to take you down a long road here, but I'm going to try to make it really fast and to the point. And I know it's going to sound like a side note or a rabbit trail, but I really think it's precise, so here goes.
Okay.
The other day when I was driving to Houston for a clinic, I saw way off in the distance, you know, off 79, there was a... I guess it was a chicken hothouse, whatever you want to call them, wherever they raise. How many millions of chickens are in there? Is it like 40 billion probably?
Oh, poor things.
Well, that's what I say too, but I mean, there were fans, you know, along the side, and they were going, and they weren't small fans either. They were probably big, big fans.
Yeah.
No, I don't really think there was 40 billion chickens in there, but there were probably 39 and a half billion. But they know for a fact that if they give a little bit of an antibiotic called Tylosin mm-hmm. into the feed of chickens, that the female chickens or the hens are going to grow by 200%. And so what they find is, if they give antibiotics, the reason why they cause chickens to grow so quickly and so rapidly, and I'm just trying to tie this into belly fat, if you'll let me drag it out a little bit longer, is that... it completely disrupts hormones like cortisol, adrenaline, and insulin.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been very well studied. If they want, you know, when I was a little boy, if my mama grabbed the chicken and, you know, wrung its neck, that may not be very pleasant to think about in the morning, but she would, like, hang it up from the clothesline upside down. Well, what's wrong with that for a Saturday? But to make a long story short, the chicken was real, real small, so if she fried chicken, the pieces were small compared to the mega-sized pieces today. Why, you could take a drumstick today, and you could defend yourself against protesters at a rally if they were attacking you. It's so big. But when I was a little boy, the chicken parts were teeny tiny and small. Well, if you give antibiotics, you cause everything to grow, because what you're doing with antibiotics is you're killing the good gut microbes. And when the good gut microbes have been killed off and they are not there, guess what fills in the place? Toxic disease-causing germs. And these so stress the body that it causes disruption in blood sugar, cortisol, and insulin. So one of the ways that I think has been proven to be very, very beneficial to me when you're trying to help restore the adrenal glands, mm-hmm. sometimes it's just as simple as giving a person probiotics. And okay. probiotics would be considered good, beneficial gut microbes, that if they actually take up their rightful place, they can actually start working to serve you by making all the B vitamins. I don't know if you've ever heard of B6 or B5 or folate, or you ever heard of vitamin B12 before?
Yes, I take extra vitamin Bs.
Yeah, well...
And I take a B12 under my tongue.
Well, see, I'm going to be kind of hardcore in my statement here, because
okay.
almost everything the adrenal glands need, not everything, but almost everything is made if you have enough good beneficial bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can we go back to the thyroid just for a second? The thyroid, in my mind, is, you know, the other day I was reading in a psychiatry journal. Don't ask me what I'm doing reading that. I just don't want to tell you. No, I'm. But then again, to me, this is very interesting information, very, very exciting. But they're saying there's one dominant emotion among people that have weak thyroids. Now, I'm not asking you to make a comment, and I'm certainly not saying this because of your question. I'm just saying it. It may benefit somebody, but one of the dominant emotions that can be considered negative associated with the thyroid is feelings of unworthiness. Have you ever known a person to sabotage themselves?
Yes.
Because they feel like, you know, I just don't deserve this, or I'm unworthy. And so at some point, they will do something or engage in some behavior or lifestyle or diet that just doesn't serve them well. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so probiotics, to me, that's a very, very exciting proposition, because if we can actually encourage good beneficial probiotics in the body or beneficial microbes, that's how I start to see people transform and change. And I'm sure you've heard me tell the story, but I'll tell it one more time. In the year 2005 in Poland, they did a very, very interesting study to me. Maybe nobody else likes it, but I am completely enamored, thoroughly impressed, whatever you want to say. It's like a gold mine of information. But they took about 272 people that they thought were just perfectly healthy. They weren't taking any drugs of any kind. They had all their organs intact, nothing been removed. Yeah, you could have had like a broken finger or arm or toe. As long as it healed, you were in the study. But the age ranges on adult men and women were from like 18 to like 87 years of age. And over a five-year period, what they requested of them, and this was it, was could you please give us a stool specimen four times a year or once a quarter for 5 years. Now, in a research setting, what they did was they had this type of device that would analyze the DNA of gut bacteria. The only thing they were looking for, and this was it, they didn't look for anything else. They looked for how many unique individual species of beneficial microbes do these really, really healthy women and men have. And at the end of 5 years, they came to the average of, well, these people that are skinny and trim and they're hormonally healthy and they have great hearts and blood sugar's just fine, they don't have arthritis, was about 1,050 unique species of individual good beneficial bacteria. So that's what they could tell. Mm-hmm. Now, the theory would probably go like this. You want there to be all the good beneficial bacteria, because the good bacteria, they actually eat about 15% of all the food that goes into your mouth, into my mouth, is supposed to be for the good beneficial bacteria. So if you're eating avocados or you're eating cabbage or salads, does it make sense that that might actually be a perfect food for good microbes?
Yes.
But if you're eating Doritos and Cheetos and donuts and
what else can I say? All that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. That's just all bad food. You're going to cause the bad. So at the end of 5 years, the really healthy people, they had this remarkable amount of beneficial microbes, or probiotics, if you want to say that. On the flip side of the coin, they invited about 311 people into the other study. And these people had everything from morbid obesity to horrible arthritis. They had both type 1, type 2 diabetes. They had many cases of what I would probably call terminal cancer. I'm not trying to be negative, but at the end of the study, there were only about 232 or maybe 234 or 236 left. I don't remember, but I'm close, because some of them just died. Not one person died from the first group, which I think is remarkable. I thought, shouldn't one person get hit by a meteorite or something like that? But it didn't happen. And they asked the same question. They said, how many beneficial microbes do these sick people have? And you want to guess what the number was?
I'm sure it was pretty low.
Well, it was set right at 700. That was the average.
Wow.
And so one of the research assistants asked the question. He said, well, what's the difference between these healthy people and those that don't have good health? And somebody popped off and said, well, about 350, you know, species of bacteria less. Meaning you're not going to have those guys to colonize the gut, which is what you want. Meaning they can make all the nutrients that you need to feed and nourish your adrenals and your thyroid and balance your hormones. And I really think that's true, because it's been proven over and over again. And so, to the best of my knowledge, they've only done one follow-up study, and this is what it was. They approached 17 women that had morbid obesity. Do you know what I mean when I say morbid obesity, or do you kind of have a guess?
Yes.
Since you don't know where my office is, but it's probably a quarter of a mile from Walmart at the most.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how many times I've been in the parking lot and I've seen one of the employees come out in one of those motorized carts or, you know, electric shopping carts,
mm-hmm.
to pull up to somebody's car, and when you see them get on it, you understand why. If they tried to walk from the far end of the parking lot back to where they sell butter, it would be brutal pain.
Yeah.
Because every step is like the knees, you're just thinking, okay, my joints couldn't take that either, and I feel very, very badly for them. But they approached 17 women that were morbidly obese, and they said, we want to run something past you because we have an experiment we want to try. And they said, well, what do you have in mind? And they said, well, we find out that in your digestive tract or within your gut, you only harbor about 700 beneficial species of bacteria, whereas these skinny women over here that are very healthy, they didn't say skinny, I'm saying that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're saying they have about 1,050. And so we think that maybe, or quite possibly, you've got a whole bunch of trashy, dirty, toxic, inflammation-producing bugs in your body, because if you don't have the good, now, I promise you, I'm not trying to be sacrilegious or irreverent or sarcastic by saying this, but there's a verse in Romans chapter 12, verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but rather overcome evil with good.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to overcome evil bacteria with good beneficial bacteria. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so the women said, well, what are you asking of us? And they said, well, we want to try a technique. It's called fecal implant or fecal transfer. And I don't want you to overthink that because it doesn't sound real pleasant. But what they did was they took a stool specimen or a fecal specimen from the skinny chicks that were healthy, and they gave it to the very, very obese women. And don't repeat this, because if you repeat it, people are going to call me and say Dr. Morgan is talking about gross stuff. But in the real world, you know what I really like about this study is they did not sit down with any of those women that were overweight. They did not even attempt to counsel them. And again, that would be against migraine right there. They didn't mm-hmm. send them to a hospital dietitian to say margarine's good and butter's bad and low-fat everything and just, you know, eat low-fat yogurt full of sugar. They didn't do any of that stuff. They didn't even send them to a medical doctor to see if they needed to get some thyroid or speed or fin-fin redux. I mean, just a billion drugs out there to try to induce weight loss. All of them are like abysmal failures. But anyway, they didn't even do that. So, to me, the results are even more impressive. It's probably the greatest weight loss study that I think I've ever come across. And the beauty of it is, when they transplanted all 1,050 microorganisms into the women that had the horrible obesity, they just gave them a chance to try to take over and recolonize the gut and take it back. Overcome evil with good. But what happened was these women began to completely change the way that they would eat, not because somebody, you know, tried to shame them into losing weight or tried to stress them out like, you just don't care about yourself because you're not exercising. Well, can you really tell somebody to exercise when their ankles are about to collapse and fracture? You just can't.
Yeah.
It'd be brutal. If somebody said, you know what, I weigh 400 and a quarter, I'm going to go jogging. That will be the last time that you ever take a step then, because you'll be in intensive care from fracturing all the bones and collapsing your joints and, you know, luxating your, anyway. But they all lost tremendous amounts of weight over time, but the bacteria completely changed their hormones. So mm-hmm. that's my sales pitch for you. I didn't say go to Poland and have that procedure done, although you never know. You may have your passport ready for Poland right now. Is that true?
That'd be great.
It'd probably be a cheap trip. It'd be like going down to the 7-Eleven, right?
Yeah.
So probiotics can play a huge, huge role. The other thing that I'm after is, if there is too much estrogen coursing through a woman's body, there's not much that can just destroy the thyroid and increase cortisol levels like too much estrogen. Mm-hmm. So I go back to the study they did back in the late 1990s. They gave women with estrogen levels that were way too high
mm-hmm.
and women that had estrogen levels way too low, they just gave them fiber, soluble and insoluble fiber as a dietary supplement. And guess what happened? It took the high levels of estrogen and lowered them, and the low levels of estrogen raised them. Well, how could that be? Because fiber gives food for beneficial bacteria. It's all the same thing.
Okay, now I had low estrogen because I'm taking a compounded.
Well, do you still have your ovaries?
Yes.
Well, that would still, I am completely, I'm not changing my story. That still tells me we need to work on your gut.
Okay.
To fix your hormones and to fix, I'm really questioning if that number is actually correct, because it's going to be almost always when I see increased belly fat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I've seen many cases of low estrogen, so I wonder if they use a test that, anyway, I'm not going to get into that right there. But anyway, encouraging you to get beneficial microbes in your body is a good thing. So either you take a supplemental form that you buy at the health food store or something, or you really fall in love with fermented foods. So you've got kefir and cabbage and cheese and yogurt. You've got, did I mention sauerkraut yet?
Oh, I love sauerkraut.
There's kombucha. You know what I'm in love with? I shouldn't say love. I don't love this like I love my family.
Yeah.
Or I love God. But I love kefir water.
Kefir water.
I am telling you, if you know of any human being that has an addiction to Coca-Cola or to Sprite or, what is it, Mountain Dew? Isn't that like a top addiction among people? I'm probably stepping on a whole bunch of toes this morning. But you, I think it's 7 cups of kefir water. It only takes about 48 hours to make. And, of course, who I have to thank for this is Judy. Judy gets 5 gold stars today because she gave my wife, Ruth Ann, the kefir grains to make it out of. But I'm telling you, Judy, have I told you that I love you? Not the same, but anyway. But I think it's 7 cups of kefir water, and you might use 2 cups of some type of fruit juice. I think the batch that we have going right now is cranberry. And we've tried, I've tried pomegranate, lemon. I guess that'd be my version of Sprite or 7-Up. But I'm telling you, the one that I just, it just is mine. It's mine. It's the one with just a little bit of grape juice. But it turns it into this wonderful probiotic elixir. And I'm telling you, I feel good when I drink it. There's no way I'm going to spend bukus of money on store-bought beverages. I've got kefir water.
Yeah.
And it just, it's foamy. It's effervescent. It bubbles up just like, but that's just the natural reaction of beneficial bacteria and microbes that God has made us. Now, the one thing that I cannot, I'm not going to try to tell a lie this morning and tell you I know everything about kefir water. I've done a lot more reading and study, and maybe even if you want to call it research, looking into kombucha.
Mm-hmm.
So I have several books on that, but I don't have any books, and I haven't really read any articles, but I'm convinced it's going to be so similar. But kefir water is fabulous. Do you have grandchildren?
Yes, and great-grandchildren.
Are you serious?
I have 4 great-granddaughters.
If they came over to the house to visit you today and you served them some of this Concord great kefir water,
mm-hmm.
they would say, I thought you didn't buy grape knee-high soda.
Oh, really? It's like soda.
Oh, I think you should try to trick them. That's, but, I mean, the other, when I came home, I was supposed to get home probably around 6 o'clock on Wednesday, but I didn't make it. It was like about 6:30, which means... they had a little bit of food for me, you know, waiting, but my son went to the refrigerator. He said, "You want some kefir water?" I said, "Yeah." Well, he drank almost all of it before it actually got into my possession. So you think the kid was motivated? "Dad, what can I do to help you by bringing you some kefir water?" "Oh, that's great, Tom. Bring it to me." Well, now I know he loves it so much he wants to drink it for me.
Wow.
But anyway, that you're infusing your body with good beneficial microbes.
Okay. Well, I take 20 billion
good.
Probiotics.
Good.
Is that enough?
I don't want to make an assumption, because all the time, almost every single day, I examine people that are taking probiotics, but for whatever reason, it's just not the right one for them.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with me that all people are different?
Yes.
So one person may do really well with that probiotic, but I may have 10 other ones that it just doesn't take. So I try to go through and test each one of them individually, and I want to find out which one proves to give the very, very best results. You know, and of course, that's what a person wants, is they want to have confidence. So I think it's good. I just don't know if that's going to be enough, because sometimes 20 billion, sometimes I have to use 200 to 400 for a couple, 3 weeks just to kind of get the good in there.
Oh, okay.
So if we remove all water from a bowel movement or stool, 95% of it's going to be bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
Some are dead. Some are zombie bacteria, half alive, half dead. I really don't know what a zombie is. I'm just joking. And some are going to be alive. But the vast majority of a human being's waste is bacteria. To me, that is a big, big thing to focus on. And sometimes I used to have bowel conditioning agents. I use a product called Zymex. And sometimes I have to clean them out. So even if you were to go to a health food store, they may have things like golden seal and oregano oil and caprylic acid and organic grapefruit, barberry. There's just garlic. There's a tons of things you can use. And sometimes I have to spend time and energy using those first and scrubbing the colon clean before I can give probiotics. And sometimes I use other protocols where I try to get all the inflammation out. But the other thing that I look at, when it comes to the thyroid and the adrenals and the gut together, I'm always looking for food allergies. Always, always, always. And if a person's eating a food that's stressing the lining of their gut, which that's where your immune system is, we really don't get much progress until we remove that.
Okay.
So have I given you enough to start with?
Yes.
Good. Well, I'm really tickled for your phone call. Thanks a whole bunch.
Oh, thank you so much for talking to me. And I'm going to make an appointment. Come over and let you see me and help me.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right.
Be glad to. Have a good day,
All
man.
Right. Thank you. You too.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. If you'd like to call and ask a question, the number's 903-586-5257. That's 903-586-5257. You're listening to Health Essentials. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking.
I've had a rash on my arm and on my finger, and I was taking activated charcoal, and I was taking, like, during capsules, and I was taking, like, 7 in the morning and 7 in the evening, and it seems as though my rash is getting better doing this. Mm-hmm. And I was wanting to know from you, would that be too much?
No, not necessarily, because what the activated charcoal doing, and the stuff is like a very precise magnet for bacterial toxins. And so I'm really not trying to make a joke, but let's just say that you and your family are taking a vacation to Florida, and everybody's starving, and you realize, well, I didn't bring much food to eat. You know, I thought we were going to be able to stop here, but you're in the middle of nowhere, and you stop at a fast food Mexican food restaurant, but you eat some tainted onions that are covered up with salmonella, and all of a sudden your stomach starts churning and rumbling, and you're starting to get sick in your stomach. Would that probably be a good time to take activated charcoal?
Yes.
Yes, it would. And so if there's 10 people in the van with you and 9 people say, that is ridiculous, we are not taking charcoal, you may be the only one that comes out of that alive or without having projectile vomiting and diarrhea because you took charcoal. And so if the charcoal is seeming to work, then most likely it's absorbing the very precise toxic waste that's given off by toxic germs and bacteria. And so we just have to trace back where those bacteria are coming from. Is it because of an infection in the colon? I always think that, and I know this is more precise for maybe a special person listening, but if somebody had a continual low-grade infection somewhere under the gums, like in a tooth or in the jawbone, boy, could that prevent the liver and the kidneys and the bowels from doing their job at help keeping your skin clean from toxins?
Yes, sir. And so, I'm getting a bad tooth fix that I've had for some time on the bottom to Monday morning or Monday afternoon. And yeah, so I'm praying that that's going
to
help.
You know what old-time doctors used to call the skin? They used to call it the third kidney. And I hope this isn't too sensitive of information, but there's really not a huge difference between urine, you know, that's removed from the bloodstream and excreted when a person goes to the bathroom to go tee-tee, but there's not a huge difference between urine and sweat. I mean, haven't you been in public before and seen a man walk into the store with yellow, yellow, yellow armpits?
Yes.
And because it's, sweat, that's the way it is. And so if you find something on the skin, you have to trace it back to, where is it coming from?
Yes, and sweating makes it worse, the rash worse.
Well, sweating releases more toxins, too. And I know there's a time and place for all that, but you want to have closure. So if I had a do-over, probably what I would do is I would try to use more probiotics that would actually eat those toxic germs. And so there's some yeast wafers that I use that are cheap that eat those things, and there's bacteria. But that's just the balance right now. Just like if you were on the African Serengeti plain, you might look off 2 miles in the distance with binoculars and see a cheetah chasing an impala. Well, if you asked me emotionally if I like that, I'd say, well, I think impalas are cute. I don't want that. But that's God's plan. There's always a battle between good and bad. Did I just say the cheetah was bad? That's not what I'm trying to say. But there's just going to be certain things that eat other things. And so you want those good, and that's why I like those lactic acid yeast wafers, is because they kind of create it's one of the best antibiotics of all time.
Okay.
So if you're using activated charcoal and you're seeing tremendous benefit, or you're seeing it budge, then we just have to get to the source of the infection. Where is it coming from? Now, for other people besides your situation, I mean, I can just tell you it's like clockwork. Either they have a diverticuli. See, if a diverticuli is not flared up, a person kind of is lulled into the sense that, hey, it's not that big of a deal. But it's still spewing forth tons of toxins. That's one of the reasons why it's good to resolve a diverticuli. But I would probably look to, if it's not the gut or if it's not the gallbladder, to me, the gallbladder can be a big source of chronic low-grade infections. But I would sure look at either the tonsils, the sinuses, but I mean, the teeth have got to be one of the biggest ones.
Well, I tell you, when I was in the dentist office, she had a chart there on so many diseases, and it comes from the mouth, diabetes. If you have bad teeth, it could affect, it could cause diabetes. Heart problems could be, from bad teeth. And,
Well,
on
can
and on.
You find yourself buying into that? I can.
Yes. It's really sunk into me. It's really sunk into me.
And you may have heard me say this before, but I know I sound like a broken record sometimes, but that's one of the things about these questionnaires that people take when they go for cancer treatment. But really high on the list, there's a correlation to root canals. And I think it's really, really hard to do a good job on a root canal. I mean, I would avoid them at all costs if I could, but, I'm probably of the mindset I might actually have the tooth pulled before getting a root canal. Now, I've never been in that situation, but I really think that I would probably just remove the tooth instead of getting a root canal. Because a root canal is going to be the chronic infection.
I thank God that she's able to save the 3 teeth that I have that are bad. She's able to save them, and especially that bottom one.
But she's not recommending a root canal. She's got other techniques she's going to use, right?
Well, she recommended a root canal, and I said no.
Well, everybody needs to answer their own questions about these things. It can't just be me all the time telling a person what to do and what not to do. But if you just wanted to say, are root canals safe, you're going to read both sides of the equation. That's like a political conversation. You're going to have some people, well, do you think that using the word, I did not intend to leak top secret information, is that even really relevant? You're going to have some people say, well, it's just perfectly fine. You're going to have other people say, well, that's just like one of the worst things of all time. That's treasonous. But if you do your own study on root canals, I'll let you come up with correlations to root canals and diseases. I'll tell you another one.
That's why I prefer not to do a root canal, because of what you just said.
Have you ever read that information from Dr. Melvin Page? I mean, it's so fascinating, back from the 1940s. And can I give you just a small example of what he did?
Yes, sir.
Now, this may come across as cruel toward rabbits, but I had nothing to do with it. So what he would do is, if a person came to his office and he would find a tooth that he thought was really, really toxic and bad or infected, he would extract that tooth, but he would also note, what disease does this person have? And if the person says, I have suffered with rheumatism, or what I should say is rheumatoid arthritis, and I have deformed fingers. I have severe arthritis of my hands, and it's in my knees. That's where my rheumatoid hits. What he would do is he would make a small surgical incision in the skin of a rabbit along the back or the spine, and he would take that tooth that he extracted from the person with rheumatoid of the knees and the hands, and he would place it surgically under the skin, and then he would sew it back up perfectly. What do you think happened to the rabbit? The rabbit always developed rheumatoid of the hands and the knees, or the rabbit equivalent of the hands and the knees. You know what I mean, don't you?
Yes, wow.
And then he would do other ones. He would take a person that had horrible, horrible diabetes, and it was his primary goal to be the very best dental detective of all time. And he would trace it back to the tooth that was very, very bad, and once he extracted the tooth, he would make a surgical incision like before and insert it under the skin of a rabbit. And then guess what happened to the rabbit? They would develop diabetes.
Wow.
And guess what would happen when he would remove the tooth? All of a sudden, the blood sugar started healing and repairing and getting back to normal. I mean, I can't make this stuff up, but to me, that is most interesting and fascinating.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. Well, this dentist, she's real good, and that's why she's doing everything ASAP on me.
Oh, good. Well, I can't wait. If I had a do-over, I'd probably work the probiotic angle. But, you know, in the real world, you try to make things as cost-effective as possible. But still, if it were me, I would want the best results in the shortest period of time, and I wouldn't settle for less. And, you know, sometimes we're just mere mortals, and you can... But I just don't want you suffering any longer than what you need to. And I know you don't want to suffer because you're all about having good health and being a very good steward of the body that God gave you. So you get an A+ on your report card today.
Thank you, Dr. Morgan. And you also get an A+ for being a great doctor.
Well, you're very kind. Thanks. I hope you'll have a great weekend, folks.
I hope you do, too. God bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye. I said folks because I'm pretty sure her husband's listening. While he's whittling, if you'd like to call me on the radio, there is a phone line officially open. The number's 903-586-5257. So please call if you have a question. I'll be glad to help. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Morning, Dr. Morgan. I have a quick question.
Yes, sir.
What is this kefir water that you was talking about?
Well, we had a friend named Judy. Did I say that Judy's awesome yet? But she gave us a jar of water called kefir grains. And to me, they look like really, really small cultures of bacteria that look like kind of like cloudy ice cubes in the bottom of a glass. And from that, you add water to it in a big jar, like a half-gallon jar, a gallon jar, whatever you want, and you let it sit for 48 hours or whatever the time frame is, and the bacteria start dividing. Now, I think my wife says that she needs to put raisins in there, and I think some sugar. And I need to look at the formula one more time. But after 48 hours, you're ready to add fruit juice to it, and you let it sit for just a little bit longer, and it makes do you like carbonated beverages?
Yeah.
Okay, and that's what it produces. So if I use 7 cups of kefir water, and I think it's 2 cups of a fruit juice of some kind. It could be, I've tried apple juice. That's great. But the one that I am crazy about is when you add a little bit of Concord grape juice to it. And so when you pour it into a cup, let's just say you have a cup with ice cubes in it because it's outside and you're very, very hot. It has this purple foam that comes to the top. It's effervescent. It bubbles. And when you drink it, it just has a very, very mild sweetness to it. Nothing, not like a Mountain Dew or something like that. But it's going to be a probiotic water. It's living. It's raw. Nothing's been pasteurized. It has life energy in it. It has tons of beneficial microbes and bacteria, so you're just using kefir. But what you're doing is you're making your own health beverage for just pennies. Pennies.
How do you spell the kefir?
Well, the kefir grains would be K-E-F-I-R. Now, I'll be the first to admit that sometimes I have women come in and say, I like using kefir, but I just don't pronounce it that way. I'm from Texas. I just say kefir. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Potato, potato. Kefir. I don't care how you pronounce it.
Sure.
So, those are easy to come
online?
By. Sir, what?
Can I find this online, how to do this stuff?
Well, I've had a lot of patients order kombucha mushrooms or SCOBY, whatever you want to call it, from people and have it mailed, but I'm pretty sure you can do it with kefir also. But I'm telling you, those little suckers reproduce overnight. If you had like 100 of them, there'll be 200 in the morning. You'll go, what is the deal? But each one of those is going to represent a colonization of beneficial bacteria. You know how they take milk? And if you let it set for a while with the right culture of bacteria and it's raw, it'll convert into cheese. Or how they'll take cream from milk and they'll let it culture and you'll have sour cream. Am I the only one here that likes sour cream? I love sour cream. And I like blue cheese also, but that's a heavily cultured or fermented product.
Yeah.
And so you can't tell me these things aren't imperative to producing good health. Because if we have 95% of our stool bacteria, I'm just going to suggest to you that we might be living in a slightly toxic fallen world. You don't have to agree with that. Of course, if you listen to the news, you might change your mind.
Right.
But we just have to continually replace the good microbes that just may die off, or they might get a hit from a toxin. I don't know that I'll go into it in great detail, but I'm pretty sure that if somebody did not enjoy public speaking and you told them, I need you to address a crowd of 10,000 people right now and I'll give you 5 minutes to prepare, well, you might have instant projectile diarrhea. So you can't tell me emotional stress doesn't wreck bacteria in the gut. It does.
Where would I get this kefir grain?
Well, you can try ordering it online, or if you can just ask around. You want to hear something that I think is kind of, well, this may not be real funny, but my 4-year-old son, he just turned 4. They went for a play date one day, and they went to the Brookshire's Museum there in Tyler. Do you know where that is?
Mm-hmm.
You ever been there before?
No.
You ought to go. It's free. But anyway, he was there, and he just walks up to a lady. He said, do you like kefir water? And she had this shocked look on her face. She says, yes, I love kefir water. Now, what are the chances of you running into anybody? Do you go to church?
Yes, sir.
Well, when you go tomorrow, I want you to say, hi, my name is Bill. Do you like kefir water? I want you to see. You'll do the field research. But see, to me, and she was just shocked. She said, why, yes, I do, young man. And anyway, it's just kind of funny. I mean, what are the chances he could walk up to somebody and ask him if they like kefir water?
Yeah.
But he's the one that said, Dad, you want me to pour you some kefir water? And I said, sure. The problem was he drank almost all of it before it got to me. See, he was in it for himself, right? I'm telling you, man, it tastes good. And you're doing your body a service. It is no mystery that people that live a long time and have very few health problems, they tend to have more good microbes. That's why I told the story about those overweight women from Poland that were sick. I'm sure if you want kefir grains, we'll find somebody that can give you some, because those little suckers reproduce like there's no tomorrow.
They actually, you once you get them, they start growing.
Yes, and if you want to get rid of them, you'll have to either give them away or throw them away. Or eat them or drink them or whatever you want. Because I looked in the jar the other night, because, you know, my wife just puts those up in the jar, and I guess to keep them cool and dark. But I looked, I said, Ruth, what is the deal here? And I mean, those little guys, it's like overnight, you've got twice as many cultures as what you had the day before. It's incredible. It really is amazing. And you know what? I kind of stand in awe of all this, because man is not really smart enough or clever enough to design something like that. That's a creation of God right there.
I agree.
And it's like anything else. We've got so many things on this planet that can bless our health. And, you know, I don't really read that kefir grains cause strokes and heart disease and diabetes. No, haven't read that article. But there's plenty of other things that I could read very easily. You know, how do you ever watch television at all?
No, sir, unless I'm out somewhere, I don't have TV service.
Well, you're like me then. But what I was going to say is, if you were out in public, like at a restaurant, and there was an ad that came on, can I just say Fox News? It may say, if you're taking this drug and you develop bladder cancer, contact the law group of Brown, Brown, and Herman Brown, or whatever. But it's true. Every drug is toxic. Every drug, without exception. And they all have bad negative side effects. You know what article I started to read this morning, but I didn't? It was about there is a strongest correlation between people taking antidepressant medications, and guess what they develop? They get to develop Alzheimer's. So, what is the top-selling drug in all the world? Let me think for just a second. Oh, that's right, it's Prozac. So you can't tell me there's not millions upon millions of people on the planet that are taking Prozac, because there are. But they're showing there's a correlation between people taking that and developing Alzheimer's. Well, to me, you sound like a pretty smart, sharp guy. I don't want you developing Alzheimer's.
Yeah, me either.
Anyway, but it's the key for grains or key for water. I think if you type that in, even if you wanted to just order some online and you want to spend $2 on a culture, well, it'll probably cost you $2.99 or $4 to have it mailed to you. So what? Once you got them, those little guys will really reproduce. But look it up and you can just make your own. And I think you'll be very, very pleased. So if you wanted to go to the store today and buy 6 half-gallon ball canning jars, that may be the most expensive proposition you have to shell out for this. But I bet you anything, you're going to be one tickle dude and just use your imagination.
Well, I've already got the jars, so I'm on the way, I guess.
You are. You're already ahead of the curve. All you need is the kefir grains and the little recipe, and you can make it and do whatever you want with it.
All right. Well, I appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for your call, buddy. Appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All righty. There's still time for another phone call. It's 903-586-5257. Is it really possible to drink soda waters and produce good health? Well, no. If you did it occasionally, I'm not worried about that, but every day, you're asking for it. Good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How about you?
I'm great, thank you.
I had a question about, it was the eye disease, and I can't remember the first portion of it. I had it saved on my phone, and it disappeared.
Is this your eye disease or just a eye disease you don't want to get?
No, my son has it. It's some type of retinitis, they call it, but I can't remember.
Well, it's called retinitis pigmentosa.
That's it.
Okay. And now I'm telling you what my take is on this.
Okay.
And it may sound kind of crazy, but I call that an autoimmune disease, where his immune system starts attacking the retina, and he starts losing his ability to see. So he'll lose his visual field. So we have to turn that off. And so one of the ways of turning that off is by trying to improve the function of the thymus gland. The thymus gland is like a long earthworm that grows under the breastbone. It's not really an earthworm. It just kind of is a, when I've seen pictures of it, it has kind of a pinkish gray color. I know that sounds like two opposing colors, but that's the way I look at it.
Okay.
But your thymus gland, it tells your body, don't attack itself. And so a lot of times that's what I'll use, is I'll use thymus extract, and I'll use probiotics, but with retinitis pigmentosa, I usually find there's a significant correlation to how much stress a person has in their life. So, do you know whether or not your son has a lot of stress, or has he just got the easiest life of all time?
Oh, no, he has stress.
Well, I didn't ask that question because I'm trying to be negative, but anything that we can do to reduce the amount of perceived stress, I've seen retinitis improve, but I always give what are called protomorphogens. And sometimes they're called PMGs, like Peter, Mark, Gordon. I couldn't come up with a G name.
Okay.
By the way, how many Gordons do you know? Sorry.
You, but
oh, well. Well, see, I thought I was wasting your time. You know more than I do. But they're called PMGs, and you can actually get ocular PMGs, and what they do is it's just a nutritional supplement, but they make them from the eye tissue of a cow.
Mm-hmm.
But when you put these in the body, it tells the immune system, stop attacking the retina.
Okay.
So there's one supplement called Iplex that it does have some ocular PMGs in it. It's just I-P-L-E-X.
Is that hard to find?
No, not at all. Get on Amazon and type in Iplex.
Okay.
Anyway, yes, you know, I know that this is, the manifestation is in the retina of the eye, but we want to try to improve everything, so...
Right.
Anything to reduce stress, you know, at the end of the day, everybody has stress, and you sometimes, after the fact, and what I'm doing is I'm talking about me right now.
Okay.
Sometimes I'll think things are going to turn out badly just to find out they never really went badly, and it was much better than what I thought. Or it turned out most positive. So some things are definitely outside of my control, and if I really worry and stress over it, I can't really change that. So I've got to focus what I can do that's actually going to be pleasing to God and more helpful to my fellow man and family.
Okay.
So if we could find a way to reduce the stress, if your son is eating any food that's harmful to the body, I would probably say sugar might be the number one when it comes to the retina.
Right.
He probably doesn't even like sugar, does he?
Oh, I won't tell that lie.
Well, let me ask you this. If he comes over to the house, what would be his favorite thing that his mama would make him?
Well, he likes fried green tomatoes and things like that, but...
Well, that's not the problem. That's
no,
good.
But if it was sweets, he would love a banana pudding and things of that sort.
Oh, so he loves the evil, wicked banana pudding, right?
Yes, yes.
Well, you know what? Half of that equation is probably good for you, so... You're a good mama.
Okay.
Well, let me know how this turns out, but if it were me, this is really, really a situation where you probably want to take some zinc.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably think vitamin C if it were my eyes.
Okay.
And I would really, really consider what are called omega-3 fatty acids, and that can be just as simple as cod liver oil.
Yeah.
Well, let me know how it turns out, okay?
I appreciate you. Thank you.
Oh, I appreciate you. Thank you very much for your phone call, ma'am. I hope you have a good weekend.
And you too. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Oh, boy. If I had to lose sense, I'd prefer to lose hearing in one of my ears or something like that. Anyway, I think there's like 15 seconds left in the program. Sorry, but if you want to call me, please call me next week. The number here is 903-586-5257. But this program is called Health Essentials, and I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. It's always very, very good to be with you, and it's a blessing to be alive. And you can decide for yourself if you want to take good care of yourself. And I've made several observations over the years, but when a person says, I'm sick of this, I want to get better, that's when I see changes. There's no deliberation. There's no... waxing and waning, there's no straddling the fence. When you decide you want to get healthy, you can.